to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is messaging in WebSphere Partner Gateway using Service Integration Bus in WebSphere Application Server. Today's presenter is Srilatha Sankaranarayan. Srilatha joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway L3 support team in May 2007. Prior to this, she was part of the WebSphere Data Interchange team. She is a Sun Certified Java programmer and a Sun Certified Web Component developer. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Srilatha.
Thank you, Joseph. Good day, everybody. In today's session, we will look at some aspects of messaging in WebSphere Partner Gateway. In particular, messaging using the Service Integration Bus of WebSphere Application Server version 6.1. As a preface, it should be mentioned here that this topic is an interlock between WebSphere Partner Gateway and WebSphere Application Server. Some of the topics presented in this session will be purely WebSphere Application Server specific, but they have been touched upon here for bringing in clarity to the working of WPG. If there are any questions on details regarding some of the WebSphere Application Server related topics, we may have to get back to you offline. If you have any such questions, kindly email me your question or provide me your email ID and I assure to get back to you. Moving to slide 2. The agenda for this session includes discussion on install time activity related to messaging engine. We will look at messaging provider and messaging topology in Partner Gateway. Message data store for messaging engine. Clustering for messaging. Also, we will look at message-driven beams in Partner Gateway. JMS receiver or destination configurations in Partner Gateway. A brief topic on collect and analyze diagnostics has been included for troubleshooting purpose. We will conclude the session with few useful tips and finally summary. Moving to slide 3. We will first look at install time activity related to messaging engine in Partner Gateway. Moving to slide 4. Here, we have shown a screenshot of the launchpad for WebSphere Partner Gateway. The step outlined here is for simple distributed topology. As seen in this picture, step 2 is for installing messaging database, and step 4, which is hub install, will install the messaging server. In simple mode installation, we do not install the messaging database. However, internal messaging in simple mode is also through platform messaging provided by WebSphere Application Server. Moving to slide 5. This slide provides more details on each of the steps from the previous slide. We will look into some details on the messaging database in our next slide, slide number 6. As mentioned earlier, messaging database is installed only in a distributed topology. Messaging database is required for clustering of messaging engines. We will see more details on this in a short while. One thing to remember is that post-installation, once the messaging engine is started, there are entries made into the messaging database. If for some reason the hub needs to be reinstalled, ensure that the messaging database is also dropped and created again. If this is not done, we would notice that the messaging engine server will not be started when the hub is reinstalled. Moving to slide 7. This slide shows some of the messaging resources that are created during the installation of Vestia Partner Gateway. Moving to slide 8. This slide shows the location of installation log files for the messaging engine and also the location of other messaging artifacts. Moving to slide 9. Can we please move to slide number 10? Vestia Partner Gateway uses the default messaging provider, which is a component of the Vestia application server version 6.1. This messaging provider is installed by default. This default messaging provider can be configured to support JMS messaging as part of a service integration bus. In Vestia Partner Gateway, messages are held on message points associated with the messaging engine. These messaging points are queue points. We will see more details in the upcoming slides. Moving to slide 11. This slide shows a screenshot of the messaging engine cluster created during the Partner Gateway installation. This cluster is created only for a distributed topology. The cluster can be administered using the Vestia application server administrative console. Moving to slide 12. Using the Vestia administrative console to navigate to the service integration buses under buses BCG bus. Under the BCG bus, if we go to messaging engines and click on the messaging engine cluster created, which is BCG mass cluster .000 BCG bus. Under this, if we click on the queue points, this will show us a list of queue points configured in the messaging server that is to be used by the Partner Gateway. These are the queues Partner Gateway uses for internal messaging. The main inbound queue is the queue where all the inbound messages to Partner Gateway come before it is being picked up by the BPE application. The signal inbound queue is the queue where acknowledgements and XML events generated by Partner Gateway are sent to. Delivery queue is the queue to which delivery manager posts messages pending delivery. Similarly, other queues are used by specific functions within the Partner Gateway. Moving to slide 13. Message data store is an important aspect of messaging engine functionality. We will look at this in some more detail. We will move to slide 14. Message data store for messaging engine uses an existing RDBMS like DB2 or Oracle to store all persistent data which is used by the Vestia application server's default messaging system. A messaging engine uses a data store to store operating information in the database. In addition, it is used to preserve essential objects that the messaging engine needs for recovery in the event of a failure. The data store can either have a dedicated database or it can share a database. In Partner Gateway, the data store has a dedicated database, which is the messaging application server database, which is by default BCG mass. Moving to slide 15. This slide shows the one-to-one relationship between a messaging engine and a data store, which means that every messaging engine must have its own data store. A messaging engine uses an instance of the JDBC data source to interact with the database that contains the data stored for that messaging engine. The figure here illustrates these relationships. Moving to slide 16. This slide shows the JDBC data source that is created for the messaging application database. From the WebSphere application server admin console, we can test the connectivity to the messaging database using the test connection option in the data source created. Moving to slide 17. Here, we have listed the tables that is created in the messaging application server database. These tables are going to be used by the messaging server. We will look at what is the significance of each of these tables. The SIB owner table is responsible to ensure exclusive access to the data store by an active messaging engine. The SIB class map catalogs the different object types in the data store. SIB listing table catalogs the SIB NNN tables. The SIB XAX maintains the status of active two-phase commit transactions. SIB keys table assigns unique identifiers to objects in the messaging engine. Finally, the SIB NNN, which is the NNN is a numeric in WPG, the tables created in the application, in the messaging application server database are SIB 000, SIB 001, and SIB 002. These tables consist of persistent objects such as messages. These tables hold both persistent and non-persistent objects using separate tables for the different types of data. Moving to slide 18. We will now discuss the exclusive access and locking mechanism using the data store. A messaging engine establishes a lock on its data store so that it has exclusive access to the data stored within it. This ensures integrity of the data within the data store. Several factors can affect exclusive access locking in practice. Each messaging engine establishes an exclusive lock on its data store. While the messaging engine is running, it maintains that lock to ensure the integrity of the data within the data store. The SIB owner table in the data store holds the lock as a pair of unique identifiers in a single row. When messaging engine starts, it uses two identifiers to acquire and maintain its exclusive lock. We will see what these identifiers are in the next slide, slide 19. The two identifiers that the messaging engine uses to acquire and maintain its exclusive lock are the MEUUID, which is a unique identifier for messaging engine, which remains the same whenever the messaging engine stops and restarts. The other identifier is the INCUUID. This is the incarnation identifier for a messaging engine, which changes every time the messaging engine starts. Moving to slide 20. The exclusive lock remains until the messaging engine stops, with periodic refreshes to ensure that the lock is still in force. If the messaging engine cannot refresh the lock, the messaging engine is not permitted to use the data store while the messaging engine attempts to acquire the lock again. If the messaging engine discovers from the data in the SIB owner table that another messaging engine is using the data store, the messaging engine writes CWSIS1519 error message to the server's error log, and the messaging engine stops immediately. In such a case, one has to check that no other instances of the messaging engine are running in the cluster. The other error with data store locking seen in the logs is the CWSIS1535. The messaging engine expects to find a single row of data in the SIB owner table, or no data. If there is an existing row, the messaging engine starts only if the MEUUID it finds matches its own unique identifier. If the MEUUID does not match, the messaging engine writes CWSIS1535 error message and the messaging engine fails to start. Again, check to see that no other instances of the messaging engine are running in the cluster. Moving to slide 21. This slide lists some of the symptoms that indicate a data store problem. The symptoms are: messaging engine fails to start, messaging engine is active but fails to accept work, error messages with the prefix of CWSIS seen in the logs. The message text for these error messages indicates a problem with a data store, a data source, or a messaging database. Rollback exceptions in the messaging application, class not found exceptions, or SQL exceptions. Moving to slide 22. We will now look at clustering for messaging server. Moving to slide 23. When configuring a clustered environment for messaging using the default messaging provider, an installation can follow one of the two approaches, which is cluster in a highly available configuration or cluster in a workload management configuration. In HA configuration, only one messaging engine is active on one of the cluster members at any given time, whereas in WLM configuration, a number of active messaging engines equal to the number of cluster members are active simultaneously, each specifically pinned to a cluster member. In Partner Gateway, which is installed in distributed topology, messaging engine clustered in high availability configuration or HA configuration is used. Moving to slide 24. A common configuration issue when using clustering is related to the connectivity to the message store database. These are indicated by the error messages such as CWSIS1524 and CWSIS1501. If we see these errors, we should check if the data source for the messaging database is configured correctly and if the messaging database can be connected to. If the database does not exist or if the data source has been configured with incorrect database name, access to the database fails, and the messaging engine cannot start. Moving to slide 25. A runtime problem seen with messaging engine cluster is when the messaging engine tries to fail over. When a messaging engine tries to fail over and cannot complete the process, a problem can occur with the data store lock. This problem shows up as a statement in the system out log suggesting that a lock cannot be obtained on the data store. The error as seen in the logs is CWSIS1535E. The messaging engine's unique ID does not match that found in the data store. Moving to slide 26. To resolve this problem, examine the locks on the SIB owner table. If the database is still holding locks after the failure of a cluster member, release the locks and attempt to restart the messaging engine on the appropriate cluster member using the Vestia application server administrative control. Moving to slide 27. Message-driven beans in Partner Gateway. We have included this topic only to highlight an aspect of working of the important application in Partner Gateway, which is the BPE. Other than BPE, MDB, there are other MDBs in Partner Gateway. But we will try to understand the working of a message-driven bean using the example of the BPE MDB application. Moving to slide 27. Message-driven beans, or MDBs, are EJBs that act as message consumers. An MDB always runs inside an application server and connects to a messaging engine to consume messages. MDB applications are invoked by Vestia when messages arrive on the queue. The MDB has been configured to consume messages from the queue. In Partner Gateway, we use MDBs, for example, the BCG BPE MDB application, which listens to and consumes messages from the main inbound queue. Moving to slide 29. Here, we will look at the sequence of steps when an MDB application starts. For example, when the BCG BPE application is started in WPG. The first step on startup is that the activation specification is read and validated. If the activation specification fails validation, the MDB will not start. Next, the MDB attempts to connect to a messaging engine in the bus that has been specified in the activation specification. If there are no messaging engine available, then if the MDB is running on a server that is not a bus member of the specified bus, as in Partner Gateway, then it will retry every 30 seconds to connect to a messaging engine that might be running on a remote server. Once the messaging engine is available, then the MDB creates an asynchronous consumer on the configured destination. The consumer then informs the MDB application whenever a message is available for consumption by calling its onMessage method of the MDB. Moving to slide 30. If you go to resources, JMS, activation specification from WAF admin console, you will see the list of activation specifications created for Partner Gateway. These activation specifications are used by corresponding MDBs to read messages off the internal queues shown earlier. If there are problems such as messages not getting picked up from the queues, one has to ensure that the activation specification is created and that it points to the correct destination, which is the queue point from where it should consume the messages. Moving to slide 31. Clicking on one of the activation specifications shown in the previous slide shows the destination queue point on which the corresponding MDB listens. The screenshot shown here is that of destination properties for the BPE MDB. This shows that this MDB listens to messages on the main inbound queue. Moving to slide 32. There can be problem symptoms that indicate issues with MDBs, such as an MDB application failing to start or MDB failing to consume messages. In such a case, the suspects can be an invalid destination specified on the activation specification or an invalid activation specification, which is indicated by the error J2CA0137, which indicates an invalid property specified in the activation specification. The other problem symptom is messages getting lost. The MDB transaction type set in the EJB module deployment descriptor can be container managed or bean managed. If the MDB is bean managed and it does not correctly cope with transactions and exceptions, messages can be lost. However, in Partner Gateway, most of our MDBs use container managed transactions. The other problem symptom is when the MDB fails to connect to the messaging engine. Moving to slide 33. To verify if the MDB application has started successfully, in our example, the BCG BPE application, we can use WAS admin console to go to applications, enterprise applications. In the list of applications, check if the MDB application, which is the BCG BPE, is started successfully, which is indicated by a green arrow. Moving to slide 34. When an MDB fails to connect to a messaging engine, it could be because the MDB is unable to create a connection to the messaging engine in the specified bus. At such a time, we see a warning such as the one which is shown here. If this problem occurs, ensure that the bus name in the activation specification is correct and is pointing to the correct bus for your configuration. You can find activation specifications from the WAS admin console under resources, JMS, under JMS activation specifications. Also, ensure the servers hosting the messaging engines in the specified bus are started. If you have made changes to the Vestia application server, JMS, or JNDI resources, you must restart the application server processes for changes to take effect. Moving to slide 35. If the MDB fails to handle a message, the messaging engine attempts to redeliver the message based on the destination properties of the destination. If the message cannot be processed, delivery is reattempted until the maximum threshold for failed deliveries is met. At this point, the messaging engine attempts to deliver the message to the exception destination, which is system.exception.destination.bcgmaskcluster.000bcgbus, where bcgmaskcluster.000bcgbus is the name of the messaging engine. Moving to slide 36. We will now look at the JMS receiver or destination configurations in Partner Gateway. Moving to slide 37. Configuring JMS destination or receiver with external MQ through JNDI. The steps here are to create a communication bridge between Partner Gateway and external MQ through JNDI binding. First, we create JMS queue connection factory, then we create the JMS queue, and finally, we configure the JMS destination or receiver on the Partner Gateway. We look at these steps in more detail. Moving to slide 38. To create the queue connection factory, from the WAS admin console, go to Resources, JMS, Queue Connection Factory. For a destination creation in Partner Gateway, use Document Manager Server and NodeScope. For receiver creation, use Receiver Server and Node as the scope when you create the JMS Queue Connection Factory. Select the JMS resource provider as Webseer MQ messaging provider. In the screen that follows, provide the appropriate queue manager, host, port, channel, and the transport type values and save. Moving to slide 39. To create a JMS queue, using admin console of the Webseer application server, go to Resources, JMS, Queue. For a destination creation in Partner Gateway, use Document Manager Server and Node as a scope. For receiver creation, use Receiver, Server, and Node as a scope. Select the JMS resource provider as Webseer MQ messaging provider. In the screen that follows, provide appropriate queue manager, queue, host, port, and channel values, and save. Moving to slide 40. Now, from the Partner Gateway console, create the JMS destination by using the queue connection factory and the JMS queue created earlier. An example screenshot is shown here. Three attributes to be understood for gateway creation are the JMS factory name, which is the JNDI name provided for the JMS queue connection factory, JMS queue name, which is the JNDI name provided for the JMS queue created, JMS JNDI factory name, which is factory that's going to be used for the JNDI communication. Since we are using Webseer application server, it is advisable to use com.ibm.webseer.naming.wsn initial context factory as the JMS JNDI factory name. Moving to slide 41. This slide shows Partner Gateway console to create the JMS receiver by using the queue connection factory and JMS queue created earlier. An example screenshot is shown here. Again, in this context, three attributes that needs to be understood are JMS factory name, which is the JNDI name provided for the JMS queue connection factory, JMS queue name, which is the JNDI name provided for the JMS queue, the JMS JNDI factory name, which will be com.ibm.webseer.naming.wsn initial context factory, as we are using Webseer application server. Moving to slide 42. We will now see configuring JMS destination or receiver with queues created on the service integration bus. Following are the steps. We first create destinations on the SI bus. We then create the JMS queue connection factory and the JMS queue. Finally, we configure the JMS destination or receiver using the Webseer Partner Gateway console. Moving to slide 43. To create destination on the service integration bus, in the bus admin console, go to Service Integration Buses. Click on the bus in which you would want to configure your receiver. For example, the BCG bus. Click on Destinations, and here, click on New to create a new destination. The destination type to be created should be a queue. The screenshot here shows one such queue created on the SI bus, which is the BCG bus. Moving to slide 44. To create the JMS queue connection factory, we again use the WAS admin console. Go to Resources, JMS, Queue Connection Factory. For destination creation, we use Document Manager Server and Node as a scope. For receiver creation, we use Receiver Server and Node as a scope. Select the JMS resource provider as default messaging provider. In the screen that follows, provide the appropriate bus name, example, BCG bus, and provide the provider endpoint values and save. Moving to slide 45. To create the JMS queue, use the WAS admin console. Go to Resources, JMS, Queue. For a destination creation, use Document Manager Server and Node as a scope. For the receiver creation, we use Receiver Server and Node as a scope. Select the JMS resource provider as the default messaging provider. In the screen that follows, provide appropriate bus name and queue name, which is the service integration bus destination we created, and save. Moving to slide 46. Now, from the Partner Gateway console, create the JMS destination by using the queue connection factory and the JMS queues created earlier. Moving to slide 47. In this section, we will look at some diagnostics that can be collected for problem troubleshooting. Moving to slide 48. After we understand our bus and messaging engine topology, determining the specific problem involves inspecting diagnostic information generated by the applications, application servers, and messaging engines in the topology. Continue your diagnostic approach by collecting these diagnostic data. Application logs can be found under the profile root, profile name, logs, server name, bcgserver.log or the bcgreceiver.log or the bcgdocmanager.log, depending on the distributed topology installed. Application server JVM log files for the messaging engines are by default named the system out and the system error logs. The default location for the system out and the system error logs is the profile root, profile name, logs, server name, and the system out.log or the system error.log. Moving to slide 49. This slide shows how a normal trace file for a successfully started messaging engine looks like. The SIB messages logged here give information on the state of the messaging cluster start. Moving to slide 15. Here we will look at analyzing some of the diagnostics that are collected. Analyze the system out log for the application server running and the messaging engine to determine if the messaging engine started correctly. If the messaging engine started correctly, examine the logs associated with the application to determine if it was able to connect to the messaging engine. Moving to slide 51. In the system out log, search for error messages beginning with CWS, TCPC, DCSV, or HMGR. While analyzing the logs, start with the most recent log entries first and work in order back through the older entries. Pay attention to all the CWSI messages, which contain information about the messaging engine startup. Moving to slide 52. Here, we will discuss some of the common error messages seen specific to the messaging engine. CWSIS0002 indicates an error occurred while starting the messaging engine. Messages encapsulated within this error and error messages that follow provide more information about the problem. Usually, a CWSIS0002 message with an embedded CWSIS message indicates a message stored problem. CWSID0016I indicates messaging engine state changes, including joined, starting, started, stopping, stopped. An application can connect to a messaging engine only when the engine is in the started state. Moving to slide 53. TCPC0003. This message during messaging engine startup indicates a port conflict. If this occurs, the messaging engine will start but it will not accept work. Moving to slide 54. This slide shows some more error messages from the application logs that can indicate failure while connecting to the messaging engine. If you suspect that there might be a port conflict, you can use a command such as netstat to view the ports that are currently in use. Moving to slide 55. In this section, we have included few tips that can help in administering messaging engine when used with Partner Gateway. Moving to slide 56. If you suspect that you have a default messaging problem, first make sure that the appropriate messaging engines are running. The simplest method to check the status of the messaging engines is to use the administrative console of the Vestiaire application server. Select the service integration bus. Click the bus name to open the details page. Click on the messaging engines. A light green arrow indicates that the messaging engine has entered the transitive starting state. A dark green arrow indicates that the messaging engine is in started state. And a red cross indicates that the messaging engine is in stopped state. Moving to slide 57. To check for messages in any queue point, for example, the main inbound queue, use the WAS admin console, select service integration, buses, click on the bus name to open the details page. Click the messaging engines, the BCG mask cluster, .000 BCG bus. Click the messaging engine name to open the details page. Here, select the runtime tab. To view the messages held on a queue point, click on the queue point name. For example, main inbound queue at bcgmaskcluster.000 BCG bus. Click messages. This will show a list of messages in the main inbound queue. Messages in the queue can be removed from here if someone wants to clear the queued up documents. Moving to slide 58. If there is any queue that is flooding with messages and you would want to disallow the partner gateway from consuming these messages, then you can do so by going to the WAS admin console, going to the service integration buses, clicking on the appropriate bus, and then clicking on destinations. Click on the appropriate destination name, for example, the main inbound queue, where you wish to disallow consumers. Clear the receive allowed checkbox. Moving to slide 59. We will now summarize the session. Moving to slide 60. In this presentation, the messaging concepts as relevant to Partner Gateway were explained. Common errors and checkpoints while working with messaging engine were highlighted. Message data store and data store tables created and their relevance was explained. This presentation also covered in detail the data store locking and issues related to locking. Useful tips which would help in administering the internal queues of the Partner Gateway on the SI bus we share. That concludes the agenda for our session today. Moving to slide 61. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for Vestiaire products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcast and conference information. Visit vestiaire.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open update and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. I will now hand over the presentation to our moderator, Joseph. Thank you.
Thank you, Srilatha, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Natalie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
The first question comes from Kim Miller.
I had a question about the JMS queues, and you sort of answered it with the presentation, but I basically wanted to know if it's documented anywhere what the purpose of each of the queues is. What type of message it holds. I know that you can tell from going to resources in JMS and the activation specification which, I guess, process or MDB reads from that queue, but I was just wondering if there was anything in writing that indicates what those messages are. Like, for example, the alert queue is pretty self-explanatory, but some of the other ones aren't.
Hi, Kim. I understand your question. You want us to have a reference to any documentation which basically explains in more detail about the internal queues used by Partner Gateway. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm afraid we don't have such information documented in any of our guides. These queues are pretty much for the internal working of the Partner Gateway, and there is no customization or no configuration allowed on these queues. So there's little of documented information that is available outside in any of our reference materials. But I can recheck that for you, and if I find any such documentation, I can send the references to you.
Okay. And I had another question about the same topic with the JMS queues. Is there a way to get information about the number of messages on the JMS queues outside of using the console? Because we've had a couple times where we've had messages queue up on those queues, and we had no idea until it got to the point that the queue was full, and we started getting errors about, you know, the threshold being reached. So if we could monitor it semi-real time rather than having to go to the WAS console all the time and clicking through all the, you know, different options to get the current queue would be helpful to us.
What we through Partner Gateway, the use of Partner Gateway and the queues, internal queues, what we advise is using the administrative console of the application server. If there is a way outside the administrative console to monitor the queues on the SI bus, we may need to use the WAS admin APIs, and we may need to see if they provide any way that we can monitor the queues without using the administrative console. Again, that will be in the realm of SESFIR application server and not Partner Gateway.
Okay, so it's something I'd have to develop myself, which is not going to happen because we only use WAS for Partner Gateway. So.
Right. WAS may also have certain other utilities which may help you in pulling these queues, internal queues created on the bus. So that is something that you can look up for. WAS may have these utilities existing.
Okay. And I had one more question about the notifications that you were talking about, the CWSI, basically codes that you would look for in the log files. I was just curious if those are pretty static or if they change as the product is updated.
Usually they do not change because certain error codes indicate a certain kind of failure. If there are any updates to the products, it will be new error messages added for the new changes that come into the product. Usually the error messages are static.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Rami.
Hey, this is regarding the default message provider and WebSphere MQ message provider. So if I want to do a high availability scenario for a messaging engine, and which one will be preferable for a production or a pre-production environment? So whether you use an SI bus or whether you use an external MQ?
The preferable one would be using an SI bus because the clustering and the high availability will be taken care of by the WebSphere application server. So the recommended one would be a service integration bus.
Okay. So I don't know the participant name. Then she was having some problems in how to notify the queue depth and kind of things, right? So how do we manage that in a production and a pre-production environment by using the SI bus?
Like I said, we need to look at what are the admin APIs provided by WebSphere application server, and if we can use those APIs to have our own code or utility written so that we can monitor these outside the administrative console. The question Kim had was if we don't want to use the administrative console and we wanted to monitor the queues, but for all practical reasons, the WAS admin console is a good place to monitor the internal queues, to monitor any queues on the SI bus.
Okay. And the last question is, suppose if I'm planning to use a WebSphere MQ, external WebSphere MQ, that's also in a cluster environment. And we are going to point to only one queue manager, right, external queue manager. So how do you want us to make it a cluster, active, passive, or what kind of cluster you are expecting? A cluster on the queue manager?
The cluster for the messaging server will always be active, passive. We do not support active, active, at least as far as partner gateway goes. The clustering is only for high availability, and we expect it to be active, passive.
Yeah, so the messages will be get lost, right, during the transition from active to passive through using Veritas or some other software. So how do we manage that one? Because in the WebSphere MQ7 supports the multi-instance. So if we are not planning to use the multi-instance for whatsoever reason it is, so what is the best option to avoid that kind of message failures? Is there any configuration?
I'm not sure about the other software that was mentioned. As far as WebSphere Partner Gateway goes, we haven't claimed support for MQ7 yet. We have in the labs not tried a clustering environment with external MQ. So I would not be in a position to, you know, suggest you or recommend you a configuration at this point.
Okay. Just an information, because IBM has recommended to go with WebSphere 7 with Veritas for our installations anyway. Maybe I may be raising a PMR or something.
Okay,
I'm not sure, because now it is getting an ambiguity in how, as you said, that it has not been tested.
Right.
Okay. So what will be the best way to go forward? You need to raise a PMR to understand the whether
I'm sorry, I'll have to retract the statement of saying it was not tested on WebSphere MQ. We have not claimed support as yet, but on the support side. So I think you would need to get in touch with the support folks to get a clear understanding of the support on WebSphere 7, WebSphere MQ 7.
Okay, fine. Thanks.
Thank you.
At this time, there are no further questions.
Thank you, Natalie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.